Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. As usual with you are your faithful correspondents and servants. My name is Gio. I am the youth leader of Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. And with me is, again, our pastor of Living Word in Miami and my father, Jesus Martinez.
Well, all hands on deck, all aboard, and in the words of that famous mouse, arriba, adelante, or something like that he used to scream out, right?
Arriba, 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 yeah.
Andale!
Andale, there you go. That was the word.
Man, those cartoons, you remind me of something. Those cartoons, you don't see those anymore. Those are the best.
That's true.
Now you find stuff that's totally out of left field. But anyways, May 1st is come and gone. May Day came and went. And the Occupy protest, again, we have them amongst us. They're almost like pests. They don't seem to ever leave. They always seem to stick around. You know, it's like when you're grilling, when you're doing barbecue out in the backyard and you want to get rid of the pests, they always seem to come back. It doesn't matter how many candles, scented candles, or off you put out in the backyard, or you spray yourself with it, it always seems to come back. And we seem to have the same thing with the Occupy protest.
And just like the critters that come out during your barbecue, they want your meat.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. That's a great way to put it. So they come back, and now it's it got worse than ever, especially considering what the Black Bloc did in Seattle. I mean, the footages that we were able to see that came out of Seattle were pretty disturbing, to say the least. You see a lot of these kids all dressed in black, and they were shattering windows, and they were spray painting cars. And if
Oakland was pretty bad also.
Oakland was pretty bad also. That, you know, it seems like out west, the worst parts of the Occupy movement seem to abide there, if you will. I mean, New York, it's pretty bad also, especially what happened last year with all of the rape incidents and drug abuse and whatnot.
Maybe it's because they're closer to Pelosi.
Well, that is true. You know, that'll make anyone go mad. So, but having said all that, I think it's important for us to really carefully study where this came from, because you've got a lot of young people who are joining themselves up. They're not necessarily going out to the meetings. They're not going to the Occupy protests themselves, but they say, well, yeah, I stand in solidarity. So, and they don't even know what they're standing with. I mean, you ask a lot of the protesters there, and they don't even know what they're out there for. They're out there because they say, well, yeah, we're here for peace, love, and happiness. Or some others say, yeah, I'm here because we need to love Mother Earth. And they can't even come into an accord for the reasons that they're out there for. You and I were talking about this the other day. There's no document that states what they're out there for. There's nothing that, you know, tells everyone else what they're actually standing for.
Well, in the beginning, the first couple of days, and I'm talking way back in the beginning, some of them were protesting the fact that, you know, the rich cats were getting bailed out. And I can see some sense in that. If you toyed with my money and you lost it, why should I bail you out?
Yeah.
And so some people would argue that at the very beginning, there was some sanity to what they did. But then, like usual, corruption sets in or takes hold. And now what we have is just a people that are wanting you and me to give them what rightfully belongs to us, because this is what they have been brought up on. This is what they've been taught in the universities. There's a lot of university kids out there. And we know what is going on in our universities. I have a friend who is a college professor, and his wife is just finishing her studies. She just got out of a class. She just finished a class on sociology. And he was sharing with me that the professor invited the boyfriends and or girlfriends or husband and or wives of the students of that particular class. And when you walk into the class, you see a sign that says capitalism has failed. Therefore, we need to give Marxism a shot. And you ask yourself, how can a guy who is earning $100,000 a year believe this? And so, of course, you arrive at the conclusion that either they are duped themselves, or these are people that employ malicious doctrines, even though they're making a killing at this, to poison the mind of the youth. And so what do we have? We have these people out demonstrating for things, like you were saying, Gio, that they don't even understand. Now everybody wants a handout. Everybody wants what rightfully belongs to you because you earned it through the sweat of your eyebrows, of your forehead. You earned that, and they want a piece of it just because it's part of a redistribution. And so for me, this is not surprising. It had to come to this because our universities, whether it's through anthropology, sociology, psychology, and all the other things that they teach, even though your major could be accounting, business, you still have to go through these courses, which are basically the training for a socialist, even if it's light socialism, like some are calling it a European style of socialism. Nevertheless, it's socialism. This is the training that kids are getting, and it includes Christian young people.
Yeah.
And this is where we tackle the issue as a ministry, as a church. It concerns us to see young Christian men, young Christian ladies, thinking this way.
The interesting thing about all of this is that most of the young people, they're sucked into these arguments because of emotionalism. That's just the reality of the situation. When you have people like Jim Wallis, Barack Obama, and people within his administration promoting this, and like you rightfully said, the university professors, one of the reasons that they are able to gain ground in a lot of young people's hearts is because they drive this home via an emotionalistic argument. What do you mean? Well, simply put, we have to take care of the poor. We have to take care of those that have injustices done to them on a daily basis. We have to take care of those classes that cannot reach the top. But they're portraying the capitalist system, which I believe, and I think I have the biblical basis to prove that the capitalist system is based off biblical tenets, and we can get into that on another occasion. They attack it, and it's funny because you look at it, within the capitalist system, we have the best system in the world where anyone can go from making nothing to being nothing to achieving everything that they want to achieve. Now, we understand that as Christians, we are not supposed to have our lives revolve around material things. We understand that because these things are temporary. And to live for these things, it is a sin because now you're negating the eternal aspects, why God created us in the first place. So I can understand that, but nevertheless, one has to provide for family. One has to have a household. One has to have food on the table. And God tells us the way that God condones these things is in the following manner. If you're going to eat, you have to work for it. If you're going to possess something, you have to work for it. And once you do that, then it's yours. It's yours. What the Occupy movement and what communists for a long time have preached is the following. You know, there are those in our society that they are experiencing inequalities because they don't have a chance to reach the top. And that's a lie. And that's the way that they are able to infiltrate themselves into the young minds, because the young minds say, you know what? Yeah, the poor do deserve their chance. They do. The middle class, they do deserve their chance to move up. And what better example of this do we have than Hollywood and athletes in our country? Yet these are the very people who espouse liberal ideology. What do I mean by this? Do you know how many high school dropouts right now are making and raking in millions of dollars in Hollywood simply because they stand before a camera and they act out certain scenes? And yet they're the first ones to say, yeah, I want to pay more of my fair share in taxes. Come on, give me a break. So what I'm saying is this. A lot of these people, they gain ground in young people's minds because what the professors, what the celebrities, what the athletes who espouse these things do is that they go up to the young people via the television, Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case may be, and they present it in this manner, something like this. You know, you've been wronged. You've been wronged. You students, you've been wronged. How is it possible that the universities are going to charge you so much money for education? How is it possible? And you see, they start playing this game where now they start building hatred in the hearts of these young people, saying, yeah, you know what? These rich fat cats, which is a phrase that President Obama has used on various occasions, which he himself is a rich fat cat, by the way.
And why does he take their money?
Exactly. Because some of its biggest donors are people off of Wall Street.
One percenters.
Exactly. So I see the hypocrisy here. And the reason that we bring this forth is because there's nothing more driving this than communism. Communism is driving all of this argument forward, which is, I guess, at the very most and the very least, anti-biblical.
You know, for the young Christian mind, the young Christian man, the young lady that sets off to college, they already have a big hurdle to clear, and that is that being young, they think they know all things. And so that's a big hurdle right there. Once you understand that you don't know all things, then you become a tad more careful as to who you listen to.
Yeah.
But when you think you know all things, you get these professors who come in with their deep phraseology and their big verbiage, and they are wooed. Wow, this is outstanding the way this man speaks. And then all they need is a little association to their roots, and that's it. They've been taken. Our president teaches, believes, at least this is what he says publicly, that Jesus was for social justice. If you go back to some of the old Fidel Castro speeches, he would say something from the Bible, he who does not work doesn't get to eat. Mm. And so if you're a young Christian mind and you hear this, you go, wow, these are the tenets of the New Testament. This is Jesus. And now you're going to follow the rest. So what I'm saying is they place Jesus, a biblical verse, in front of whatever it is they believe, so that will kind of coat the evil, the doctrine, the poison. Then once you swallow it, that's it. Mm-hmm. You're part of that. These are the very same people that after they have used the verse, they have used Jesus as the cover, if you will, for the poison, will then yank away all the biblical rights that these young people were taught and they grew up with, coming from Christian backgrounds and Christian households. But I ask this, Gio, why aren't all these people demonstrating in places where there are no rights? Freedom is not there. Why don't they weigh things out for themselves and say, you know, women are being oppressed.
Yep.
In Arabia, they have no rights there. Why aren't we fighting for the causes of the oppressed in China? No. They are fighting here in a place where they do have a chance, where obviously the results are not guaranteed, but the rights to get that result that you want is a guarantee.
And the opportunity.
Yes, and they are saying no. We not only want the opportunity, we want a guarantee that this will be the outcome. An outcome is based on effort, on sacrifice, on dedication, and it's not a right. It's according to how much you put into it. So as a pastor of a few decades now, I tell you, young people, make sure that you learn to think for yourself, because in the generation that teaches critical thinking, that is just another covered phrase. It's just a few cover words to really get you to think like they think.
Yeah.
They call it critical thinking, and that's the last thing you really learn. You're just indoctrinated. You're just taught to think in a particular way, and if you don't, woe unto you, because the very least that is going to happen is your grades are going to take a hit, and then God knows what happens after that. And let me say something to some of the Christian public speakers and the people who call themselves conservatives. They are telling the students to go along with what the teacher is saying because of their grades. I think it's time for all of these Christian young people who are taking hits in their grades to rightfully demonstrate and to rightfully say, we want an audience. We want to be heard by the school, by whomever is governing this school, because this is supposed to be a place of ideas, a place of thoughts, of higher learning. And once I say something that they disagree with, my grades are automatically shut down, brought down, even though I have presented a strong argument. I think it's time for young Christian men, young Christian ladies to take a stand on these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And the other thing is, and I want to make a point on what, emphasis on what you were saying earlier about these people, and they're saying, yeah, we want all of the results without all of the sweat and sacrifice. What they're trying to disguise is their laziness, their envy, their greed, and, you know, it's funny because when you examine all of this, the Occupy people and those that stand in solidarity with them, they are guilty of the very same thing that they are supposedly fighting against, which is greed. Because what they want is they want to steal. That's what this all comes down to. Why can't I have what that person has? That's envy. That's greed. And that's strictly prohibited by the Bible. What's it to you if that person worked for that? What entitlement do you have to that if that person worked for it and you did not? But you know what? This is the core of the point that I wanted to get to on this program. We as the church, and what I mean by we, we're not talking about us, because I know that for a long time you've been speaking about this. When I talk to the youth group and whatnot, and I speak to young people, this is stuff we have to deal with, because we see that this is part of a greater situation, which is a spiritual decadence in society. But the church at large, the church in general here in the United States, fell asleep. What do I mean by that? Well, they started indulging in things like prosperity theology and signs and wonders. And as time went on and the church became so fascinated with these things.
Especially with numerical growth.
Exactly. And the emerging church, all of these different things.
And they call it evangelism, and I don't see people being transformed by the power of God. So for me, it's just filling up the church and not necessarily evangelism. But I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, but it's a good point. It's a good point, because that's part of it. So while they were into all of these different, given over to all of these different things, you have on one side the atheists attacking young people via constantly hitting away at the talking points of Darwinism and evolution and trying to get converts to atheism. On the other hand, you had communists who were infiltrating positions of power, and they were infiltrating the universities, who, like you said about this professor who posted this sign on the front door of his class, capitalism has not worked. We need to give Marxism a try.
It's a failure, according to this professor of sociology.
Exactly. So you've got this. And then on the other end, you've got the celebrity society. What do I mean by that? Musicians and Hollywood celebrities hitting away at this issue. And even within a lot of movies, touching upon liberal things and even making a mockery of Christians and trying to place in a very amusing light, if you will, things like rape and degradation of women, so on and so forth. 1960s socialist acquiring power and then brainwashing adolescents. That's what this is all about. And therefore, you have the culmination of what we know now as the Occupy movement. Now, you have to look at the deep end of this in order to get to the fundamental point, like I was talking about earlier, which is greed, which is envy, which is strictly prohibited by the Bible. What do you mean, and where do you get that, Gio? Well, it's covetousness. And the scriptures constantly delineate that it is a sin against God and your neighbor. For example, the very last commandment tells you not to covet anything anyone has, Exodus 21:17. Jesus tells us to beware of it, Luke 12:15. The Apostle Paul states that those that participate in covetousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's that simple. So when you hear people like Jim Wallace talking about social justice, an individual like him is not going to inherit the kingdom of God, because what he is preaching is covetousness. But like you said earlier, he's shrouding it in some sort of biblicalism, so that way it's appealing to people, so people can automatically digest it. It's more palpable, if you will. Or not palpable, but more digestible, rather.
It's the malicious of the politicians. They know that Christians are a voting bloc. And if they can chop that into two pieces, they can actually take that piece that is not very well educated in the biblical ways and have them vote for them.
Yeah.
Like I know many Christians voted for Obama, even though his background was questionable, to say the least. Look, Gio, I think we can showcase the folly of this generation, and that is in their way of thinking, with one idea, or maybe one example. We've been told over and over that two wrongs don't make a right. And if this is so, why is Robin Hood a hero?
Good point.
I mean, look at the things people say about Robin Hood. He was a thief.
Yes.
In one particular film, they call him
the Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is a concept. This is an idea. This is something that is pushed. Not just in the Robin Hood films, which, by the way, I don't know how many have been made.
Yeah, a ton of them.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
But you see, the people applauding the idea that thievery takes care of thievery.
I see where you're going with this. That in essence, in some subliminal way, they were teaching us, and what I mean by us as a society, that communism is a good thing.
Absolutely.
That, you know, that's what the whole basis is of this argument.
If the rich have taken from the rest, then it's good for us via taxation, via laws, to take it away from them. And so we end up practicing what we say we want to be delivered from. And at the very least, we are hypocrites.
Exactly. Well, very good point. And I want to make an emphasis on what you were saying about politicians getting people involved in their covetousness. It's interesting because Peter uses these words to describe those people who want others to participate in their greed. He calls them accursed children. And that, quote, their destruction does not slumber. Where do we find that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 and 14. So obviously, there's a very... There's a driving force there when you're talking about covetousness that it propels people into this hatred of others that have actually worked, that have, from the sweat of their brow, been able to acquire certain things and move up. And instead, others, instead of seeing that, you know, that opportunity is there for them also so that they can move up, they're seeing it as, no, you know, we want the same thing they want. How can you expect the same result when you're not putting any effort into it? It just covers their laziness. Now, to end this program, I want to talk specifically to the young people first and then to the parents. And I think this is of utmost importance and why. There's plenty more that we can say about this, and maybe we'll touch upon this in another program about the history of how communism infiltrated itself in this country. And I think it's a good thing we can talk about in the future. But I think a word of advice for each group is of utmost importance, and it's critical here. And for the young crowd, and I guess you can talk to the parents, because, you know, you're at that stage now, you know, where you're talking to adults constantly, you know. And for me, since I speak to the young people, this is my advice to them. You got to step out, if you're a young person, out of that zombie-like state that you're in. What do I mean by that? Get out of Facebook. Get out of the Twittering situation. Get away from MTV. Get away from all these people, because they're all replete with people who are communists, who are atheists, who are anti-Christian. And not only that, get away from those supposed friends of yours that their worldview is shaped by MTV and by VH1 and by the Kardashians. I mean, really, seriously, you need to get away from that. Because all you have in that society are a bunch of airheads. What did Marx call them? Useful idiots?
Useful idiots.
Yeah, that's what they are. You need to start listening to your parents. Assuming that your parents want to guide you down the path of righteousness, listen to your parents. Read your Bible. Actually spend time reading your Bible. And make sure that God is foremost. And then your family. And you know what? Then you will be assured that you're not occupying, but no, Jesus is occupying your heart. And that your heart will be filled with the love of God and with the love for neighbor.
And my advice to parents and adults in general is as follows. We've heard over and over that evil advances when good men refuse to do anything about the advancement of evil. And that is accomplished in many ways. One is the doctrine of fatalism. And many Christians embrace that by saying, what's going to happen is going to happen, and so there's nothing that I can do about it. I'll just sit here and cross my arms and wait till it all happens. This while they enjoy the freedoms that others paid a dear price for. Be careful with that one. It's a way of letting evil advance. The other one is, if I get involved, I'm a worldly Christian. And so I can't get involved. Well, Paul had no difficulties separating between his Christian obligations and his, his rights as a Roman citizen. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go around feeling worldly or fleshly or carnal. And so I would ask the parents, I would ask the adults that listen to this program to be very careful as to what they decide to do or not to do, because evil is definitely advancing. And as I understand it, we, the Christians, are the salt of the earth in the light of the world. If we lose our focus, our perspective, our place, if we fail to meet our obligations, and there is nothing left. I would pray that adults will seriously, seriously consider the issues before them, and that they would do the right thing before God.
Amen. Excellent. I think that's a great way to end the program. I guess in the future, like I said beforehand, we can touch upon maybe some of the history of how communism infiltrated the country. We can talk about McCarthyism and things like that. On a side note, you know, it's interesting, and I noted this. A lot of people think now that Joseph McCarthy was a nut job and so on and so forth, and liberals have portrayed him as that. And I think a lot of it has to do also with the alcoholism that was discovered. It kind of tainted his image. But nevertheless, he was warning of something dire that was coming on the horizon, because he saw it and many other people did see it, and we're experiencing it now. So it'd be interesting to touch upon that in the future, of how that happened, how it infiltrated, and of course, you know, we're seeing the manifestations of it now. But I think it's important that young people know this and see the history. And, well, I guess the history is there. I mean, all you have to look is to Nazi Germany or Castrista Cuba, in other words, to see the effects of Marxism and communism put into place. It's there. So great way to end the program. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to direct our way, please do so by writing us an email. The email address is ata@lwym.org, ata@lwym.org. Visit our website, lwym.org/ata, lwym.org/ata. That's all the time that we have left for this edition. We say adieu, and until the next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ata. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.